Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back from Surprise, Arizona, Vern, and let's just get right into it. How serious is this Waka thing?
I hate these late in camp deals.
Thankfully, I got the heck out of Dodge Saturday night. Wasn't there for the intra-squad game. So we're going off of, finding out that news yesterday afternoon was certainly a blow. But the fact that it is Michael Waka, guy right now, that it looked like he was lined up to make his season debut a week from today in Baltimore, allows him a little longer runway to let that right middle finger contusion subside. The team, as you guys mentioned, going to have an x-ray, as Annie Rogers of MLB.com reported earlier. Going to have an x-ray earlier today, but Matt Quatrero telling Annie, the team telling Annie that they're optimistic that they avoided any long-term injury. But they're always optimistic because why would you be pessimistic right when the guy takes a liner off the hand? If they have to move him to the five spot, if Marsh makes that start in Baltimore, that'll buy him another 5 days. You're not going to need that number five starter until not this Friday, but next Friday. So I'm not concerned as of now when it comes to Michael Waka. I'm not concerned.
Do any other athletes have more injuries that are so bizarre than baseball? Like, it seems like anytime somebody gets hurt in baseball, we're shutting it down for 6 weeks, regardless of what it is. And that's kind of what scares me with this one.
Sure. Remember, what year was that? 2017 or 18 when Salvi tripped over a suitcase the day of the opener and then was out for the first few weeks. I remember when I was in Milwaukee, a pitcher named Matt Wise hurt himself, stabbed himself with salad tongs, and he was out for
what?
2 months.
What are you stabbing yourself with? Are you trying to scratch somewhere you're not supposed to be? Or like, how
I don't know. It sounded like it was somewhat made up. I remember someone sneezing and throwing their back out for a week and a half.
Kind of done that.
Yeah, you get classic. Older, you start to do that.
I do it once a month, just getting out of bed too quick. Oh, there it is. And then I got a bad neck for the rest of the day.
But for baseball players, it literally is, oh my God, he's got a hangnail. We'll see you in June. In football, it's like, put some dirt on it and you're back in the game. Like I think baseball just overdoes it with the injuries at times. Like, they just take things way too slow, but it's a microcosm of their game.
Well, not when it comes to pitchers, because in conversations you have with trainers and doctors, whatever the ailment is for the pitcher, the elbow is always the victim. That's where you overcompensate, and you don't want your pitchers injuring their elbows. So even if it is a right middle finger contusion, trying to offset that, play through that, would have very negative ramifications more than likely for Michael Waka. So for as important as these first 6 weeks are, as concerned as I am that the team avoids drowning in the first month and a half, better safe than sorry when it comes to one of your big offseason free agent signings.
Bob, Vern said it's a right middle finger contusion.
Yeah,
that's one here.
This one right here.
This one right here, pal. Yep. That's where it is. I can see it'd be hard to pitch if that was that was the contusion
I had. Yeah, if I got a contusion on this finger, can you see it right here? Because you're number one, pal.
I can see it. I can see it right there.
Somebody take a picture.
So, Vern, you took in a few weeks of camp. What are your biggest takeaways?
I mentioned early in camp the clarity of the goal that I was hearing from so many of the returning Royals. Now, with Michael Massey starting the season on the IL, you're only going to have 7 Royals on the opening day roster that were on the opening day roster a season ago. the clarity of the goal as far as it is all about winning, but also the focus on the little things. I understand that could be hit with an eye roll, but from Matt Quatrero to the veterans that you brought in on the pitching side to Salvador Perez, Hunter Renfro, the veterans in the lineup. I go back to a story that Michael Garcia told me about this offseason playing winter ball with his cousin, Alcides Escobar, who kept trying to drive home to him. For as much as Michael wants to hit for more power, Esky's message to him was, when we won the title in 2015, we didn't have a single guy hitting 30 home runs on that team. But what we did do was we trusted one another. We did the little things. We kept the line moving, passed the baton, however you want to clarify what made that offense so good, or at least so reliable. Was Moose trusted Haas, Haas trusted Kane, they all trusted Morales. You weren't up there thinking, I need to be the star. I need to hit that three-run home run. The buy-in this camp, and I know Matt Quatrero hates using that term buy-in because he says, I'm not really selling anything. I don't need you to buy it. I just want, as Freddie Fermin told me, for 2.5 hours, we're one team. You know, we're individuals away from the game, but for those 2.5 hours, if we play as one, there aren't many teams that can match us. And now they can truly believe that because, in my opinion, they have the pitching to back them up. So the clarity in which the veterans and the young guys are speaking about the goals and the avenue to get there, I don't think I've heard a team speak in unison this way since the champs left. The 2015 group that all were so very like-minded, that we're all pulling on the same end of the rope. I'm not saying this team's going to win a World Series, but they're the attitude inside that clubhouse is more reflective of a winning team as I've seen in nearly a decade.
Did you say 7 players that were on last year's opening day roster are back? That's it?
Only 7, yes.
Only
so
7.
19.
Okay. Yeah, so that continues to go to my point of, like, why are we judging this year based on last year, like, when nobody was invited back?
Yeah, the jump from how many wins they had last year to how many wins they can get this year, I feel, is almost negated, Vern, because this is a totally different crew.
Yeah.
Fair, especially on the pitching side, a completely different bullpen. Singer, Mike, you know, you look at those 7. Okay, Salvi, Bobby, Vinny, MJ Melendez, your boy Jordan Lyles, Brady Singer's in there. Those are the guys, in my opinion, that are still going to be the pendulum swingers for 2024. I'll throw Cole Reagans in there, but I've told you guys this before. Reagans, Singer, and Melendez, if those guys can meet or exceed expectations, there's no reason why this team shouldn't be competing for the division title, for a spot in the postseason. So for as much as, yes, this is a completely different team, but like last year, Brady Singer's slow start, MJ Melendez's slow start, and ultimately an injury to Vinny Pasquantino were main reasons why that thing spiraled so quickly. And once again, Melendez, Singer, and Vinny Pasquantino, they need to be not just good, they need to be very good for this team to compete. So, yes, a lot of the names have changed, but some of the key cogs are the same.
You know, Vern, we were looking at the division earlier, as we do a lot of the times, and it's milquetoast, man. This division just is nothing exciting about it. How does the division look to you?
Man, I begin on the bench. Looking at the manager, the loss of Terry Francona, maybe I'm blowing this out of proportion, but I have a lot of respect for him. The way that he handled his clubhouse, the way that he handled his bullpen as far as getting everyone to buy in, accept their roles. I think the loss of Tito is going to be huge in Cleveland. In fact, you look around the division, A.J. Hinch is in Detroit, Rocco Baldelli in Minnesota, he's won a division. Maybe I give them a slight edge. But for only being in his second year, the way that these guys are talking out of camp, this is finally a Matt Quatrero type of team. This is a 26-man roster where everyone's going to contribute. So I don't think that Cleveland has the huge managerial advantage that they've had for the past decade. You look at the offense, Minnesota's better. I'll give the Twins a better lineup than the Royals. Nobody else. Rotation, Cleveland has a better rotation. That's it. Minnesota, I think, is as good. Sure, they have an ace in Pablo Lopez, but after They're 1-2. It's a pretty big drop off. No one in this division brings the type of, in my opinion, stability that this Royals rotation has when you have Waka and Lugo to go along with the high upside of Reagans and Brady Singer.
Mm-hmm.
The bullpen, the Royals are no worse than third best in the division. I think defensively, they're as good as anyone. Base running, they're as good as anyone, them and the Cleveland Guardians. So there's no reason on paper right now that this team should finish any lower than third place. And again, Singer, Reagans, and Melendez, if those three hit, it should be no surprise that Annie Rogers wrote in her piece today she sees the Royals winning the division. It's certainly possible. It's not pie in the sky. You need a few things to go your way, health more than anything. But you're right, very milquetoast division. And you look at the injuries. Minnesota's already lost three relievers to the IL. Cleveland has lost two and a starting pitcher. So the battle of attrition has already started.
So back to the seven guys back from next year. Have you ever seen a roster turnover that big in baseball? Like, that sounds huge to me.
Yeah, I would think maybe that when Detroit, I was around that Tigers team when they almost broke the American League record for losses. I think they ended up with 110 losses. They had a pretty big turnover, but that was a complete reset button. They brought in Pudge Rodriguez. They brought in Jim Leland. They gutted everything.
Mm-hmm.
Royals gutted everything going into last year. All right, who's going to pass the evaluation season? And as we see, only seven guys were worth keeping around. So, no, it's certainly been a while, but it's also been a while since I watched a team that as bad as that squad last year. It was hard to watch.
Yeah.
No, but
you guys were screaming it in. Bob, you were screaming it in early May to trade everyone, cut everyone.
Yeah.
No one deserves to return.
Right. No, I love it.
It's nice, right?
See this kind of turnover.
You don't usually see teams do that. They usually tell you they're smarter than you, and right. You don't know what you're talking about.
This
here's the same
options.
Losers coming back for the third consecutive year. Yeah, and exactly. And this guy's got options. I love the Royals. They went, no, yes. You're right. All these guys are turds. You're not invited back next year. Let's get some new guys.
It's nice to see him abide by the results. I think we were all a little concerned hearing about the evaluation season because, if we're being honest, the previous half decade, we watched bad baseball and saw it continue to be run back.
Same people.
Because we still believe in these guys. These are our guys. Not the case anymore, and I think it's a welcome sight.
No, it is, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, it's easier and better to admit fault as opposed to trying to tell everybody that they're all wrong and we're all the people that aren't judging the talent the right way, instead of just going, yeah, you guys are right. This team sucks, okay, and there's no reason to continue to run these guys back. That will go down as Dayton Moore's biggest downfall. I still maintain to this day not trading Whit Merrifield, not trading Mondi, not trading Salvi, not trading Haas and Moose when they had the opportunity to do so, like holding on to these guys. And I know most of that was dictated by Glass because he thought they could win again, yet he didn't want to spend any of his own money. So I just think we're at a point now where we're getting cleansed from the old ownership. We've got an owner that wants to win, that's committed to winning, trying to show everybody that he's committed to winning, turns the entire roster over. Like, I'm thrilled by it, Vern. I'm more excited going into this season than I have been probably since 2016.
I think that's a key point. Not only are you as excited, I think Thursday is going to be the most anticipated game since opening day or maybe the final game of 2017. But
yeah,
this is going to be the most exciting opening day in 8 years, in my opinion, because 2017 was very somber with the passing of Yordano Ventura. 2016, there was still excitement. We haven't had that on opening day. It looks like we're going to have the weather. And if you look around that clubhouse, honestly, if you look around the city right now, there are way too many people that don't know how great Kauffman Stadium or Royals baseball can be when the team's good. I'm talking, like I mentioned, Michael Garcia has no idea what Kauffman Stadium looks like, packed, loaded with Royal blue, not Dodger blue or Cardinal red. I'm talking Royal blue.
Yeah.
He has no idea. A lot of these guys, Matt Sauer, Nick Lofton, guys that are learned over the past week, they're going to be on the opening day roster. They've never been to a big league opening day. Shoot, there's only three guys on this team that have been in a Royals uniform longer than Bobby Witt Jr., and he's not even 24.
I know.
Singer, Isbell, and Salvia are the only Royals tenured, or more tenured, than Bobby Witt Jr. So I'm really hoping that Thursday that the weather cooperates, because it could be the beginning of, it's strange to say because 2015 doesn't feel that long ago, but another rebirth of Royals baseball.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited about it. And they have the opportunity to go out there and do some good things. If they get off to a hot start this, you know, in the first week or so of the season, I think people are going to be bought in. I tell people all the time, fans just want a taste of winning and want to see some life. And if you show the fan base some life in the first 2 weeks of the season, you're going to probably have them all year long. I mean, I go back to the 03 team that started out like 9-1 or to 13-2 or so, however it ended up, you know, playing out, where they started out so hot. It carried them all year. I mean, it did. It carried them all year long. That's all we're asking for is a hot start. That'll carry you all season.
That 03 team, I know, has a special place in a lot of Royals fans' hearts, and it used to be with, prior to the championship season, that was the only time we've really had fun in the summer.
Yeah.
Even if it is just one of those tease-like seasons, even if you fall short of the postseason, just to remind people, for as great as the Chiefs are and are going to continue to be, just to remind people that baseball's different in Kansas City. For as great as it is at Arrowhead, there's nothing that matches the day in, day out, packed Kauffman Stadium throughout the summer.
No, you know, baseball, as you know, Vern, we've talked about it. It's our love. And when you have winning baseball night in and night out, and you're living and dying with each game, or you're falling asleep to a West Coast game and getting up, and the first thing you do is you're looking at the scores and you're looking at the standings and you're checking the central standings, you're checking the wild card. I haven't done that since probably midway through 16, like, where the first thing I did to get up in the morning and check the standings.
Yeah.
No.
Nope.
I want to do that again. I want to be a standings checker.
And that forces you to know about the Twins and the Tigers and the White Sox and the Guardians.
Well.
NFL fans know, fans know about every other team in the NFL.
Yes.
Royals fans couldn't name three Guardians or three Tigers.
Nope.
Hopefully by July that changes.
Hopefully so. And hopefully we don't have to play them as much, because we got the new schedule now. We don't have to see those teams as much, which is great.
So, Vern, 2 o'clock for you on Thursday, is that correct?
I'll be there.
Am I doing my math correctly?
You are.
2 o'clock.
You're always good at math. Yep.
Well, not really.
We have any special guests on the show?
Not that I know of as of yet, other than the Bobby Witt Jr. bobblehead.
That's fantastic.
That's good.
Can we get the Bobby Witt Jr. bobblehead theme for your show? Have you heard the theme to the Bobby Witt Jr. bobblehead yet?
I have not.
Oh, my God. It's so good. It's like from the 70s, 80s. It's like a retro type theme. It's fantastic.
I
sent out a text to Kurt Nelson and Josh and B-Dub the other day that I got to get it, and I just looked at my phone. It never went through. So, Kurt, we need the theme to the Bobby Baseball Head giveaway. It is unbelievable.
Start bringing back baseball songs for players, the say hey, the have you seen Jackie Robinson hit that ball. Start promoting your players in corny ways again. It's all
baseball.
Yeah, I love it.
Who does Ohtani have winning this thing this year? We don't know.
The division?
Yeah.
He's given his thoughts today, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, maybe that'll come up, but I think he's taken the Royals because of the what are they? They're like plus 600, plus 700.
Good money.
Yeah, it's good money, and why not? He's got 700 million.
Yeah. All right, Vern.
Thank you, Vern.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.